Let me say to older generations, for the years you have remaining to influence young people, do yourself a favor and don't ask them to do what you are unwilling to do yourself.
Hello and welcome to this Thursday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Thanks so much for joining us. Pastor Paul has a word of encouragement to the younger generations today, as well as an admonition for those who are a little older. It's a lesson about setting a Christ-like example to those in our sphere of influence, about modeling right behavior, and about saying I'm sorry when we sometimes fail. Today's message is straight ahead, but remember, you can stop by PastorPaul.net anytime to hear recent Destined for Victory messages on demand, or download the podcast at Google Podcasts or wherever you go to get yours. Now, here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, a word to the generations following.
I remember when God was moving mightily among young people in the latter 60s. It was called the Jesus Movement. At the same time that our nation was dealing with the Vietnam War, at the same time our nation was dealing with all kinds of stuff, God hit young folk. They were getting saved in droves. It was especially housed out here out west, but it impacted young people all around the country, but especially both in Southern California and in Northern California. You had the Jesus Movement. Right at the same time, hippies were doing their thing and having free love celebrations and all that stuff. During the same time, God started saving young people. They were getting saved. The hippies, some of the hippies were getting saved and coming into traditional churches that weren't really prepared for them, didn't necessarily want them because they weren't looking the way church folk, they thought church folk ought to look. But these young folk were getting saved, and wherever a church would be open to them, they were opening up and finding Jesus in a powerful way. The reason why you have such a strong movement known as Calvary Chapel of America is because Chuck Smith and others like him took these young people in and began to disciple them and teach them the word of God. And as a result of that ministry and his faithfulness, Chuck has gone on to be with the Lord. But as a result of his faithfulness, you have Greg Laurie and you have so many others. I'm not going to start naming names. So many others are changing their world because of the powerful move of God among young people. Well, I want to believe for that again. And I want to urge the saints, let's pray for revival. Let's ask God to move again. Lord, you did it before. Do it again, because America needs you and American youth need you. And so I want you to join me in helping to bring that to pass as a result of our prayers. So the first point, young people, is haters gonna hate. Don't let them get you off your game. Shake it off, because God has a plan for your life. And I want to tell older folk, don't be mad at young folk because they got the strength you used to have. Don't be mad at young folk because they got the energy you used to have. Don't be mad at young folk because they got good looks and they got vitality and they got vigor and vim and all that. We used to have it. Don't get mad at them because they have it now. Just thank God for what you used to have and bless it in these children that have it now. You heard me say it perhaps before. I don't like to see people beating up on young people. Young folk need our support and our applause. And so don't get mad at them. Just support them all you can. If you will be a positive force in their lives, then when they really need you, they'll know they can trust you and they'll come to you when they need some advice or some counsel. And so don't be one of those who are going to hate. Haters going to hate, young folks, but don't let it break your stride, shake it off, and keep on doing things God's way. Here, let me give you the second point. And young folk, listen to me very carefully. On behalf of some of the older generations, I've told you there are a few remaining greatest generation. There are some silent generations that are many of your grandparents, great grandparents. And there are those of us who are the baby boomers. And even because I'm talking to the last three generations, I want to say older than you are also Gen X. I want to say on behalf of those four generations, on behalf of some of them, because I can't speak for all of them, because some of them will not agree with what I'm about to say. But on behalf of those whose hearts are right and whose attitude is right, I want to apologize to you young people for a number of things. I want to apologize to you on behalf of myself and some who would be humble enough to join in on this apology. I want to apologize to you first for the ways in which we did not set a proper example for you. Fact of the matter is, sometimes we older generations just flat out blew it in terms of our responsibility to set a good example. Because as you see, what Paul was saying to his spiritual son Timothy here is, I want you not to let people despise you, but to set an example. And that's what I'm asking you to do. But before I challenge you to set an example, young folk, let me just be honest with you. We have to own up to the fact that some of us did not set a proper example that you could follow. And we just need to own it. I hope there's some older folk in your life who, when they hear me say this, they will say to the young people in their sphere of influence, you know, Pastor was right. There are some things I should have done differently, some things I should have done better, and I was not the example I should have been for you, and I want you to please forgive me. That would be so helpful, older people, for us to just own it. That's all you got to do. Just own it, that we didn't always set a proper example. Now, the second part of this is I want to apologize for the fact that not only didn't we always set a proper example, but even worse, sometimes we were actually hypocrites. The reason I'm doing this is because young people can't be asked to respect folk who are hypocrites. Don't ask them to respect you if you say one thing, do another thing. You talk a good game, but your actual life defies and denies what you talk. And so we older people might as well say, not only didn't we always get it right, but in some cases, we tried to get you to go in a way that we were not ourselves going. Let me say to older generations, for the years you have remaining to influence young people, do yourself a favor and don't ask them to do what you are unwilling to do yourself. Don't be one of them kind of people, you do what I say, don't worry about what I do. Because young folk don't play that. If you're going to try to tell me what to do, I better see you doing it better than I'm doing it. Right. Fact of the matter is, if you're going to say, you just do what I say, don't worry about my life, then you're going to be written off by these younger generations. The millennials, Z and Alpha will all say, forget you. If all you're going to do is bark orders at me, but your life defies and denies what you're saying to me, I'm not interested at all. And so let me, on behalf of the older people who are willing to join me in this apology, let me apologize to you younger generations for the fact that we didn't always set a good example. We sometimes preach one thing while practicing another thing. And here's one that really pains me. And I'm so glad that in my life, this one is not true, but I see it so often in the lives of others that I can't help but point it out to you young folk as I exhort you to set an example. Here is the thing that is sad to me, that many of the older generation people in your life are too prideful and too full of themselves and too arrogant to acknowledge any of their wrongdoing. There are too many folks in Gen X, baby boomers, silent generation, there are too many who have not apologized to the people in their lives for anything because they don't own that they do stuff wrong. And I want to say to the older people listening to this message, here's one thing I've learned about the younger generations. They cannot hear what you're saying for watching what you do. And when they watch what you do, and they themselves know it's wrong, you don't stand a chance of getting their ear and having their respect if you won't admit when it is clear to everybody who will look, but you won't admit that you're wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't say at the beginning of this, this isn't a preaching, hooping message, so okay, you see that by now. I'm not trying to preach anybody happy. I'm trying to talk to young folks from my heart. Because if we want to see God do amazing things through them, if we want to see God move in their generations, we got to give them the benefit of the best knowledge we can. And I'm here to say, young folk, I get it. You have seen a whole lot of not only hypocrites, you have seen people who, when they're wrong, don't own that they're wrong. I've certainly had times of major failure in my life. I've had times where I didn't know, Lord, where do we go from here? But I learned from the scriptures. I'm so glad my dad and the saints that raised me, my mom and dad and the saints that I grew up around, they taught and modeled very clearly, when you're wrong, the way you get God to bless you is you admit you're wrong, you humble yourself, you ask for forgiveness, and then you see what God will do in response. What we're seeing instead is a whole lot of older people who, the older they get, the more prideful they get, the more arrogant they get, the more unwilling to own their stuff they get.
Now stay with us. The second half of Pastor Paul Shepherd's message is coming right up. But we want to thank all of you who support Destined for Victory with your prayers and financial support. Those gifts help Pastor Paul share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a growing audience. Destined for Victory is, of course, a listener-supported ministry. And today, as we continue to face some tough challenges, your support can be more helpful than ever. Please prayerfully consider making a gift to Destined for Victory today. Give online safely and securely from our website, PastorPaul.net. Or give us a call at 855-339-5500. Again, that number is 855-339-5500. As the old saying goes, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. It's true. Let's explore that thought a little further in the rest of today's message, A Word to the Generations Following. Once again, here's Pastor Paul.
Now, I'm a conservative gospel preacher. I preach the book. I don't pull punches. I rightly divide the word. But once I rightly divide the word, I'm going to preach the word. And the word is sometimes going to be very unpopular. Well, Paul said to Timothy in his second letter to him, he said, the time is coming when people won't want to endure sound doctrine. The time's coming when people are going to have itching ears, King James calls it. And what that means is they want to hear certain messages. They want to hear something positive and something that affirms them. And they don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about you got to change your life. They don't want to hear about moral stuff and all of that. And Paul said that day is coming. And he told Timothy, but you preach the word anyhow. In other words, don't change the message to suit people. Now, young people, let me tell you something. I'm one of those older generation preachers who's committed to truth. And I can't change the truth to make you happy. But here's what I've learned, that I can get the ear of people who don't even like the truth I'm preaching if they at least don't have to stumble over my unwillingness to admit wrong and to humble myself. And we have a generation I'm scared of. I'm scared of some of my colleagues in the Christian ministry who will always rail against cultural sin, abortions. Abortion is not God's will. Clearly, plain and simple, it is not God's will. Under no circumstances is it God's will. But God is a God who forgives people who sin and who confess and who go low before Him. And so we don't have to just push the agenda of morality without also pushing the grace of God that'll help people get up from their sins and go in a different and better direction. Here's the problem. You got a lot of young people, though, hearing you rail against their sins, but they don't see you acknowledging yours. We got a generation that's watching leaders talk about what's wrong in the world in terms of their moral pet peeves, and they won't even admit that they're supporting people who lie unapologetically, and they won't even admit, yes, they're lying to you. And I'm here to say to you, it is right for us to stand up for biblical morality. It is wrong for us to not call out sin at the highest offices of leadership in our country and in our churches when those sins refuse to be acknowledged, much less repented of. You know what I said. I didn't pull that punch. And some of my colleagues aren't going to like that I said it and that it's going to be on the radio. My answer is, oh, well. I'm all for standing for righteousness. I'm also for calling out pride. The Bible says God rejects the proud. And so when we practice pride that refuses to admit wrong, we have to own it. And we have to ask God's forgiveness, and we have to ask the young people's forgiveness. I'm so glad that in my history, I can say at times of gross failure in my own life, I was able to sit down with my children who are millennials and say, please forgive me. And they readily gave me that forgiveness because they knew Dad's heart was to please God, and where he has come short, he has gone low before God. And my children will have the knowledge the rest of their lives. One day when I'm in my grave, they'll say he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man who wanted to please God, and he knew how to humble himself in order to do it. And let me tell you something, that needs to be the resolve of all of us older people. If you want to leave a legacy, don't leave a legacy of hypocrisy and pride. Leave a legacy where young folk will say, yeah, mom wasn't, she had her issues, but she was humble and she was honest and she didn't try to act like she was something that she was not. So I want to apologize for those things because young people, I want to admit that a lot of the older generation has spent too much time railing against your sins without owning their own. And that is wrong. And for that, I want you to forgive all of us who should have set a better example for you and did not. And I want to ask older people before I close this message, I want to ask older people, please have a time where you let this truth sink in. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me where there are things I need to say to people in my life. I need to settle some accounts. I need to own some wrongdoing, and help me to do it. There's no statute of limitation on acts of humility. No statute of limitations. At the end of the day, if you need to humble yourself to your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, whoever it is, your spouse, your siblings, your parents, anybody in your life you need to humble yourself to, do it, because that's the way you get God to bless you. Let me say this final point, and that is this. Even if you have had the wrong example set for you, which I've talked about, many of us did, Paul's challenge to you young people is, even if the wrong example was set for you, please set the right example for those you're going to influence. Amen. In other words, Paul is saying, Timothy, I'm not giving you a pass because other folk didn't necessarily set a good example for you. He's saying, you, young man, set the right example. And he tells him how to do it. Set the example in what you say. Clean up your mouth, young people. I don't care how popular, how normative it is. Clean up your mouth. Some of y'all just say all kinds of trash out your mouth. It does not please God. Read your Bible. God tells you to talk like you have some sense and have some home training. Set the right example in your words. Set the right example in your conduct. Just because other folk are doing it doesn't mean God says you can do it. Sin is still sin. Wrong is still wrong. God will not give you a pass because everybody around you is doing it. If you've got to be the one person standing while everybody else is bowing, you've got to be like one of the Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel. Everybody else is bowing to the idol. You got to stand tall on what you know to be right. Set an example in what you say. Set an example in your conduct. Set an example in the way you love. You love God and you love people. Make sure you do it in a way that pleases the Lord. Set an example in your spirit, your inner person. Make sure that you have a good inner life. Don't just be a person who is everything is about the outside. Don't be vogue on the outside and vague on the inside. Let your spirit grow up and become a mature young man or woman in this world. Set an example in spirit. Set an example in faith. Learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Learn how to believe God. Learn how to do His will. Learn how to believe Him for answered prayer. Set an example in faith. And finally, set an example in purity. I don't care how normative it is. Sin, sexual sin, is always going to be sexual sin. Or verbal sin, such as lying and cursing and all of that stuff, all verbal sin is still going to be verbal sin. If you commit it, just say, oops, sorry, shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me, and keep it moving. But don't justify sin. Sin is always wrong. Be pure in your actions. Be pure in your relationships. Be pure in your words. Be pure in the development of your habits so that God can get glory out of your life. Set an example. Don't just bellyache that there was a wrong one set for you. By all means, make sure you set a right example for the other people in your life.
God has called each of us to set an example of faith to those around us. An example of loving God and loving people. And when we fail, sometimes we will, let's learn to set an example of humility by saying the words, I'm sorry. You know, every day here at Destined for Victory, we ask people to stand with us financially. That's because we're a listener-supported ministry. That means the only way we exist is through the prayers and financial support of people just like you. And in 2021, our prayers that you might consider, if you haven't done so already, becoming a Destined for Victory partner. Partners are a special group of people that give a monthly gift of at least $20. If you were able to make that commitment, we'll send you, with our thanks, a couple of great gifts, including one of Pastor Paul's most popular CDs, The Best of Let My People Smile. It's a compilation of some of Pastor's most humorous illustrations and stories, something that will be sure to make you laugh and learn at the same time. Call 855-339-5500 or mail your gift, letting us know you wish to become a partner. Our address is Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. But you can also sign up by clicking Become a Partner right at the top of the homepage, pastorpaul.net. And if you can't become a partner today, but would like to make a generous donation to Destined for Victory, we'd be glad to send you, by request, Pastor Paul's booklet, Your Purpose is Calling. That's the booklet, Your Purpose is Calling, and it's our gift to you by request for your gift to Destined for Victory.
Don't believe for a moment that God has been thrown, and don't believe for a moment that the purpose of God has changed. The reality is, your purpose is more important now that we're going through all this craziness than it ever was before. So don't say, well, even God, you know, must really be kind of panicking. Not at all. God is up to something even now, and you are to be a vital part of that.
Sometimes God will gently lead you to your purpose, and sometimes He'll give you a little push. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Paul Shepherd shares his message, Pushed into Purpose. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.